Before I even begin the homily, I have to tell you a couple exchanges that took place before Orthros started this morning. Last week, I was in Kansas City, and Deacon John had to travel for work, and Deacon Paul was with me in Kansas City, and the Holy Spirit was probably leading Father Christodoulos somewhere needed and necessary. And so when I got here this morning and saw Deacon John, I said, from rags to riches, because poor Father Lou was all by himself last week. I said, watch, Deacon Paul will come, Father Christodoulos will come, and we might even hear bells this morning. We didn't hear bells this morning, though. When you hear bells, you know a bishop is in your midst. But we do have, instead of the bishop, Father Paul and Father Jimmy. And it was my first time, Colin, celebrating with both of them. So thank you very much. Even though you weren't standing at the altar, you were in the altar and you were concelebrating. Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll try not to make it too long, kids, because this will be your second sermon. Today we hear this very famous an oft-heard parable of the sower and the seeds. And our Lord knew that his audience back then, 2,000 plus years ago, was an agrarian society. And so this image of the sower and gardening and cultivating soil and planting and taking care of and harvesting was very, very familiar to them. It's not as familiar to us. How many of you have a garden and keep it in a very loving way? Raise your hands. See? Now, I would say 100 years ago, everybody's hand would go up. But here we had maybe 10% of you. So I won't go into gardening 101. I'll assume that at some point you've probably had one. Christ himself in this parable is the sower. And the seed that he liberally scatters all over the place is his word, the word of truth, the word of light and life and salvation. And he scatters it over all kinds of different soil. Some soil he calls a hard-packed path that many people trod over. Some soil is really rocky and does not have deep and fertile soil. Some of it is filled with thorns and weeds, and it's very competitive for the seed that he's throwing in that soil to be able to fight against all of those thorns and weeds. And then the fourth type of soil is that which is deep and rich and has been cultivated and tilled and fertilized and protected from those thorns and the rocks, and no one is allowed to walk across it. And no birds are able to come and pluck the seed away. And this is the soil that produces 100-fold. This is the soil that we would all like to have in our garden. The garden, or the soil, is the condition of our heart or our soul. And I would even say our minds, our attitudes, our dispositions. This is the interior condition of who we are in the image of God. And I want to remind us, each of us, that every human being is made in the image of God, and every human being, no matter whether they realize it or not, this is not an issue of race or culture. It doesn't matter where they live. It doesn't matter when they have lived, from the beginning of time until the end of time. Every single human being has been made in God's image, and every single human being has been called and invited, expected to become like him by grace. What does this mean? This means that we are all made in such a way that we not only have the capacity to worship God and to be in communion with him and therefore to become like him slowly but surely. But we all will worship something, every one of us. If we're made to worship him, then if we don't worship him, we will worship something. We will substitute something in the place of God. Now, why do I say that? Because this description of the condition of a person's heart and their soul and their mind and their attitude and their disposition makes all the difference in the world whether a human being will answer God's call and his invitation to not only realize they're being made in the image of God, but also slowly but surely become like him in this life and forever and ever from glory to glory in the kingdom. Like him, never ever stopping growing. Now, I also want to remind you of something else, that because we're body and soul, there's such a thing as physical maturity, and there's another thing called spiritual maturity. We all grow in one way or another towards physical maturity. But how many of us grow towards spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity is the fourth kind of soil, that which is deep and rich and fertile and protected, that produces fruit 100-fold. Every single human being is expected, invited, required, but not necessarily forced to become spiritually mature. So the question is, what kind of condition is the soul of our heart, is the soil of our heart, is the soil of our mind, is the soil of our attitudes? Notice at the end of his parable, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Whenever Jesus says that, he's really saying to his people, pay attention to what I'm saying. You are at a crossroad in your life when you hear what I am saying, because at that point, you become responsible for it. In your freedom, which I never violate, if you have ears to hear, then you become responsible for what I have told you. The other thing that Jesus says at the end of his gospel passage, at the end of the parable, is he says that this type of soil that we all are invited to have in our heart, that rich, fertile soil, is something that can only happen when we hold on to the Word of God and we keep it, and we keep it with patience. It is not an overnight process. It is not a quick fix. If we are completely distracted in our life, if we are over busy, if we leave no time in our life for quiet, for solitude, for time alone with God and with ourselves, then we become like that first soil. That's the path that is populated by 1,000 people a day, constantly packed down, that is easy prey for when the seed or the word of God falls on it, that the devil comes and he plucks it right away and it never has a chance to penetrate that hard-packed path. To be a Christian requires that you carve time out of your life every day to be quiet, to go into the closet of your heart and to be alone with God without distraction. It means you unplug, that you turn off all of the technology, that you don't even think about the cares and the to-do lists of the day. And I know how hard that is. The moment we wake up, we're inundated and bombarded with the things to do that day. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to call this person back. I have this appointment. I have to prepare for this. We have to cut that out. We have to forcibly separate ourselves from this busyness. The second kind of soil is the rocky soil. No one's taking those rocks out. No one is tilling it. No one is deepening it, creating depth in it. And therefore, you might receive the seed with enthusiasm and excitement, but there's no depth. There's no patience. There's no day-to-day practice of turning our heads up and inward so that God can reach us. And so the seed might find a little bit of fertile soil and sprout very quickly, but because there's no depth there, there's no place for that seed to take root, and that plant quickly withers and dies. And then the third type of soil that's compared to a garden that's filled with thorns and weeds and all kinds of competition, the Lord clearly spells out what that is. It is the worries of the world, the desire for worldly things, to put all our chips in the temporal basket of life and not be oriented towards the kingdom of heaven and eternity. How many of you invest your money? Okay, I bet a lot more of you invest your money than take care of gardens. You don't want a short-term investment, do you? You want something that is going to compound and grow and grow and grow. You want something that's going to give you a high yield on your investment. Guess what? If the soil of your heart is filled with weeds and thorns, you are totally putting all of your life and all of your hope and all of your future in a very short-term investment. Do you know that the kingdom of heaven can't even be compared to even a life that lasts 100 years? The scriptures say that a long life is but a wisp of steam on a cold day compared to eternity. How many of us put all of our chips in this earthly temporal basket? Eat, drink, and be merry, and get all you can now, because tomorrow you die and it doesn't matter. That's what the third type of soil characterizes. Now, we might not intentionally want to think that way, but we have to examine our life and ask ourselves very seriously and honestly and humbly, is this my orientation? Am I trying to get whatever I can get now, but I'm not concerned about eternity? So I invite you, I implore you, as our Lord implores you, to think about that fourth kind of soil that is rich and deep and fertile, that takes a watchful gardener to protect, that takes day to day, even minute to minute watchfulness. It takes intentionality to cultivate that kind of a heart and a mind and an attitude and a disposition. But when the Word of God falls into that kind of a heart or into that mind or into that person, then you can see how much fruit is born from a life like that. How much love can reside and be expressed in that kind of person. That person is putting all their chips into eternity. They are investing in a return that will never, ever end. So my dear brothers, if you have ears, I should say brothers and sisters, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that is open, no matter what kind of condition of soil your heart or your mind or your attitude is today, it can be changed. It can be worked. It can be transformed. All of us are capable, with God's help, to become that fourth kind of soil that bears fruit 100-fold. And this is what God wants from us, and this is what God is helping us and inviting us to do each moment of our lives. So I implore you to be that kind of soil and watch the harvest within you and being expressed from without grow and give glory to God. Amen.